Hey, thank you for clicking play. This is the one and only IT and the D Show. We've made it all the way up to episode 313. And no, this isn't the Detroit episode because 313.
But
yeah, it is.
But it is. Isn't it?
But it kind of is.
It kind of is.
You're right. Guests this week include.
Well, we did make the last episode the Chicago episode.
Oh,
so.
That's right. It was. It should have been.
We didn't, yeah.
Next week, St. Louis. But hey, guests this week include Mike and Mandy. They're a ton of fun. You're going to love them. They're from the Detroit Chi-Town Festival. It's a film fest coming to Detroit, and you will be amazed and shocked with the lineup they have gotten to come into Detroit and show off
their
films.
Sounds pretty cool.
It sounds amazing. I can't wait to get to that interview. But hey, John Riminelli, he is the founder and CEO of Airspace Experience Technology, says in Michigan, revolution is in the air. To find out what Planet M is doing to help businesses make that possible, at planetm.com. That's planetm.com. Dave, you may fire when ready.
We're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey guys, it's Timehawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beat off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit up my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
This is the ladies' man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. What the hell did I do?
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snoops to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT and the D.
Skeptical Dave is skeptical.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
What is going on? This is the one and only IT and the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan, episode 313.
Wee!
I know, right?
Wait, so that's you're wrong plus 297.
I know, whatever. Screw your math. And like, I want to say it again. No, it's not the Detroit episode. No, there's not. We're not going to hashtag anything. And no, it's not going to be special. It is special because we have two special guests.
It's always special.
It is special.
Sometimes that means short bus helmet. Sometimes that means phenomenal.
On a special night of the IT and the D.
Tonight, on a very special IT and the D.
This is Bob the Sales Guy, barely alive, back from Milwaukee. That's Dave the Geek. Randy, I do the Twitters, is doing the Twitters. I don't know. He's not in the studio, but he'll be here shortly.
Yeah, he's just across the hall.
Find us online, itandthed.com, and give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, so let's see. So Ann Arbor, you missed it. It was tonight. So you'll have to catch up next month if you want to do that. Our next event in Metro Detroit is the 19th. We're going to be at Embrew. And then before that, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, so that is the 14th, we will be at the Monroe Comic Con. We got booths. We're hanging out. I am probably Ming's going to be there. So there's going to be an after party.
Ming!
And it's going to be bad things happening. But Amber Nash, the voice of Pam in Archer, is going to be there. Cannot wait to like yak with her and just talk about all kinds of fun things.
And Kelly.
And well, it's from wrestling. That's, yeah, your world. That's yeah.
That's fine. Hey, Dave and I always complain about not collaborating right and sending Excel files and Google calendars and not being on the same page. But let me introduce you to Monday.com. It not only helps teams manage their work and meet deadlines, but also builds a culture of transparency to work better together. Manage all your core business activities in one place, from high-level roadmaps to specific day-to-day tasks. Join 65,000 teams already getting things done with Monday.com. It's literally suitable for any size, for 2 to 3 people like me, Dave, and Randy, to working together with from thousands collaborating across the globe. And you don't have to be a techie. This is very popular about non-tech teams.
Our usual, it's so easy, a Bob can do it.
True story. but it replaces. You guys use it?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, see? It replaces Excel files, whiteboards, long meetings. You can build a board from scratch or choose from a selection of templates and tailor it to your own team's workflow. Automate your workflows with reminders and notifications and kind of upload files directly from computer, Dropbox, Google Drive. You know, honest to God, this is something that's been an issue for us for years. I think we just chose to ignore it, but this has seriously gotten us on the same page. Do us a favor. Start your 14-day free trial by going to monday.com/ITinTheD. That's monday.com/ITinTheD. So you guys could have saved – you got a free trial and you could have saved money.
Yeah.
Too late.
Isn't it for a while? So.
Too late. Yeah. It's cool. Good.
So hey, so it is our episode 313. But more importantly, what was today, Bob? Today was hey, you guys, my kids are back to school today. You guys, my kids are back to school today. Hey.
There, you know what I laugh? So I've been posting these for what, 10 years now?
Yeah.
Or as soon as Facebook came out, my kids' first day of school.
Yeah.
There are a group of about, I'd say, 4 people that make it a point to talk about how much they hate today.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Their social. And none of them. Like the ones, it's funny. One of them that is kids now are old enough to go to school, they dropped off. They didn't complain
of course.
This year. The one that doesn't have kids complains. The one that posted every 3 minutes, all entire Labor Day weekend, Mr. Hamtramck August, you're the one that's complaining the most about today. But I got to see 38 posts from you on Labor Day. But no, today's bad for you. Right, I get it. seriously. No, but you know what? It's for my friends and family.
Right.
It's the easiest way to not, you know, like, and I got most of the likes were from friends and family. Like,
which
people
is,
have watched.
Is what Facebook is supposed to be.
Oh my God, your kids have grown up. Oh my God, you know. Yay. I haven't seen you in a while. Your kids, you know.
Yeah.
Seeing how, oh my God, last time I saw Gretchen, she was blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Ha, ha. Your daughter's going to be dating soon. Ha, ha.
No, she ain't. Whatever. Just deal. Get some kids, and then I'll like your crap.
Right. Exactly.
So I had an absolute amazing weekend. I got the privilege to DJ probably one of the coolest parties that you'll ever – you can't recreate this in the U.S. It's 12 cities of like ex-German refugees and their families that all come together once a year on Labor Day weekend. And most of these people see each other once a year and they just completely come unglued, get completely drunk. It's a couple thousand people. And reason I'm sharing this is I need to. It's a guy comes up to me that I've seen at the last party I did. And he says, do you have the Johnny Depp song? And I go, what are you talking about? He's like, it is the number one – for about the last year, it's been the number one song in Germany. Every nightclub plays it twice a night. It's become the new Hey Baby. And I'm like
– now, like, was he yanking your chain? Did
no.
Did you verify?
I verified. I went and looked on YouTube, and there's, like, a concert with this guy singing this song – probably 200,000 people in the crowd, bigger than like Lollapalooza. This is the biggest hit like that's ever been. And I just want to say I love my culture. I'm very proud of where my parents came from. And I like
– WTF.
And I like beer and pretzels. But this song, like, it just makes me question everything about my heritage. I don't even know where to go with it. Just here. It's here. Are you ready?
No.
You don't. And then the song goes on for a little while. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. And there's like this slow part where it like drops down, and then they redo the chant. Depp, 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 Johnny, Depp, Depp, Johnny, Johnny. And to be, I'll be honest.
I have no words.
And I can't understand all the words, but he talks about how like I need to go back and work sucks, and I want to go back talking about like the club and then. Depp, 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 but Johnny Depp.
What does that
Depp.
Have to do with Johnny Depp?
I have no idea. And then the guy is in the pirate in the video. And I'm dumbfounded. And I found myself singing it all day today at work. And it's so stupid. It's been stuck in my head all day. And I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to do with it. And here's the thing. We always talked – like South Park nailed it with the Faith Plus One. We're like, we're going to sell a million records. They're going to be a Christian rock
right.
band, which I always thought was the key to success, right?
Right.
Like, Hootie can't make any more in pop, but Hootie goes plays country. Hootie
right.
who makes, he's a millionaire again. Like, I'm going to be a German pop star. Like, I swear to God. This guy looks like a guy that'd be at like the bar after we hang out here. And now he's like singing about Johnny Depp. And just repeats it with some cheesy techno pop beat.
Is this like It Follows, where you just passed it on to us now, and we're
and cursed? you're all gonna be on YouTube looking up John. All of a sudden, yeah, sales have spiked in the U.S. after some resurgence. And yeah, I don't know what to make of it.
I'm seriously dumbfounded.
Like when I went in 2002, the Ketchup song broke.
I remember it.
And then I was like, this is going to make it in the U.S. So I was like real – I was all in. Never made it here. It was like number 10 one time on MTV, VRL or whatever. This song – if I'll be shocked to death if this song makes it anywhere close to a border here in the U.S.
I mean, it's right up there with David Hasselhoff.
That's a fallacy. Hasselhoff, like, they laugh. They're like, no, he sucks. Like,
oh, now they think.
Yeah, only when Reagan told him to break down that wall and he sang, we're looking for freedom. That's the only time Hasselhoff was good in Germany. And it was downhill ever since. The one thing I learned this week, though, kind of going through our stories is don't ever, ever mess with hackers. I'm looking at this story here. How
you just learned that this week?
No, but not. No, I didn't learn it this week. I'm just trying to be for sake of story. So we talked a while ago about
like the bounty programs.
The Valve bounty programs, and they had the first like kid that made $1 million. So Vice drops this story about how hackers basically dropped a zero day after being banned by the bug bounty program. They said banning him was a mistake. You know, they basically apologized because the guy probably threatened him, but he made the bug public anyway.
Well, they said it was a mistake after
he
was banned.
Because he destroyed
and dropped the zero-day bug for Steam,
right.
Yeah.
And it's Hacker One was the bounty program, right?
Yep.
And they handle the bug bounty program for Valve. And Valve says banning him was a mistake. Yeah, no kidding. He was prevented from using the reporting service after Valve rejected his findings that the problem would not be fixed. And then he found a similar bug, same thing, and then he decided to release it publicly, and then they banned him for releasing it publicly instead of going through the process. But they told him, no, it's not going to work. But it was an actual bug.
But surprise, it is.
Right.
Nice.
And he's like, yeah, I realized nothing was going to change. This is what he said on the guy says on Twitter. And they noticed my last message in the thread. Only 2 weeks, there's nothing left other than make the report public. And then they banned him. And then, okay, great, I'm going to drop a 0 day. And yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
So the other fun place to be is apparently Galaxy's Edge, as we knew it would be.
No.
It's fun, which is why the wait lines are up to 3 hours long already. But don't, for the love of God, do not buy one of the little thermal detonator Coke cans, because you know, the little things that you know Leia was holding in her hand when she was in Jabba's palace. They made a whole bunch of like Coke and Sprite and other things to look like that, and apparently they're popular souvenirs, but the TSA will confiscate them.
Full or empty?
Both.
No, full I get, because you can't bring a can of Coke anyway.
They look like a thermal detonator, which is
They're not real.
Not a real weapon. But it kind of looks like a grenade, and so people get twitchy and do dumb things, and yeah.
What, but here's the thing. That's the one – you need to have that. Like if it's the $5 – of all the expensive shit at that
park. I'm not buying the $25,000 R2-D2.
No. You're buying three of these.
Right, and put them on a shelf.
And you're giving three to your friends because you need to have this. Mm-hmm. This is like the must-have thing for $5. Which is cheaper than a bottle of water at Disney, you crooks.
Yeah, no kidding.
You crooks. Because
they reversed that.
What?
TSA reversed that.
Since when?
Oh, did they finally?
Because Friday.
Okay. So I was going to say that was just this week or just last week.
Well, yeah, because fans were quick to ask if removing the cap and, you know, would be or stowing their luggage, and they squashed the loophole. Oh, and now they finally said, okay, we can.
Yeah.
Then crisis averted.
But I mean, how many people bought those and had to talk?
All of them.
I mean, how many people really got screwed?
That's what everyone – that's the one thing you would buy. If you're going to take anything back from the park, that would be the one thing.
Wouldn't it?
Because I'm not going to spend $300 for a droid.
No, and that's a really cute thing.
The $40 cocktail I can't take with me because I'm going to, you know, pee it out in a minute.
Right.
So I want the thermal detonator. And I want to make the noise that Princess Leia makes under the mask, which I can't replicate right now, but I wish I could. Her voice.
Her voice.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. Good. No, that was awful. Don't ever do that again.
We've talked about this show a kajillion times. If you are not caught up or have not paid attention to the Cobra Kai series on YouTube, because it was only on YouTube Premium, season one has now dropped for free. Season two, the first episode has dropped, and they're releasing another episode subsequently every week. So if you have not checked it out, check it out. It's a damn good series. They've done a hell of a good job with it.
The only catch, it's not ad-free, so you're going to have to, heaven forbid, watch a couple commercials. But yeah, echoing Dave's comments, it couldn't have been more perfectly written. They had every avenue to screw this thing up royal.
Oh, absolutely.
And they made it. They gave enough twists and turns and great writing and nostalgia moments that it wasn't like, you know, episode 7 member berries.
Well, it's not the Footloose remake. It's not the – yeah.
It's not a remake. It's a continuation, which I give a pass to Hollywood. If you want to – like, again, you want to do Mad Max continuation? Awesome. RoboCop redo? Kiss my ass.
Die.
Yeah. Die. Right. Die in a grease fire. Right.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, if you haven't checked out Cobra Kai, yeah – Go.
And then
now.
The other one we've talked about, because the story is just fascinating and will not die, Fyre Festival is back in the news yet again, because they are suing the estate or the organization that still holds Fyre Festival as a thing, has sued Blink-182 to return their $500,000 appearance fee.
How does that even exist? Like, what exists?
Well, I mean, there's the organization that everybody is suing. There's still several class action lawsuits pending against Fyre Festival as a thing. Which made me laugh that the other thing that broke in the news last week is that apparently Ja Rule is throwing himself behind another music festival.
Stop.
I'm like, dude.
Isn't he broke?
Like, just, which is probably why he's throwing himself behind another right. music festival. Just take the hit that you took and move on. Like, do not.
We heard the story that Puff Daddy has to pay Sting like $600,000 a year for the worst song ever, Missing You. You don't think like Ja Rule's making money for Baby doing that 73 times? You think how much money he's got to be making?
Not enough.
If Puff Daddy's making $600,000 from Missing You, which I haven't heard played in 15 years.
When's the last time you listened to radio, Bob?
I kind of 105.1 and 106.7. I listen all the time. Other than, I don't have Sirius anymore XM because I don't travel as much. So, yeah. Only throwback channels, nothing else.
Gotcha. So this one, I wound up talking about this story a lot with people this weekend because there are a lot of people that use these and hit these. Apparently, there's a whole market out there for counterfeit weed vape cartridges that will fit in your Juul or will fit in your, you know, whether it's A-Bay or any of the ones that are out there.
A-Bay's kids,
yeah.
So isn't this just like selling oregano in the 70s?
Well, no, here's the problem. So a lot of these counterfeit cartridges are putting people in the hospital with really, really serious bad lung conditions. And there's been at least a couple deaths reported about it as well.
Who is buying vape cartridges from the guy down the street?
Dude, a lot of people apparently. Lot of people. Or like, well, so, the, and that's the thing. So it's not even, it's, so it's like you go to like a, you know, a market, you know, whether, you know, like Rust Belt or, you know, Eastern Market, wherever, you know, you go to market and it's like you don't necessarily, like people buying them don't necessarily know they're counterfeit because it's the brand names that are out there that are legit retailers, but they're counterfeits. You know, kind of like, you know, it's not really a Fendi bag that you're buying in Chinatown. It's really not.
That's
sorry.
Not real?
No, it's really not. Yeah. Louis Vuitton never made a sweatsuit, but you're swearing up and down that you got the Louis Loot. No.
You mean the Bolex isn't real?
Yeah,
they're
R-O-L-E-C-K-S. No.
Oh.
But it's like, it's a real serious thing. So, you know, we've talked about this before. We're like, people, oh, vaping is so much healthier. A, no, it's really not because you're pulling a shit ton of water vapor in your lungs. You're just giving yourself pneumonia anyway. But pay attention to where the hell you're buying your cartridges from. I mean, I get it. You know, people want the weed pens and the weed cartridges and that kind of shit, but it's not, like, way too many people are winding up in the hospital with super serious conditions. Just chill. Be smart.
So speaking of things.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that we
or
don't
just
like.
Just go back to buying weed.
Right. Speaking of things we don't like, let's talk about something we like. TechCrunch came out with an article. And stuff like this that hits the news, it bothers me. Like it says, now Facebook says it may remove like counts. Now, A, why would this make the news?
And well, because,
B,
it, because it happened. Like so somebody and I've noticed it. They're kind of getting away from how they've done things with at least the Android version of Facebook where you don't necessarily see how many likes you've gotten something in your notification feed. It's in a different place now. So like if you go back to your post and take a look at it, you might see it. But like you should like, you know, hey, so, you know, you've got, you know, so-and-so and 30 other people like this post. You don't see that in your notifications feed anymore. So the reason why it broke is because somebody saw that, started digging, and realized that it's available. You know, that's happening here, but not for all Android users. And I don't believe that it hit the iPhone platform yet either.
Well, they said the idea is to prevent users from comparing, the bigger wiener principle. Like, oh my God, this person got 50 likes,
it's
now they got
the
30 likes.
Hit. We've talked right. about that a gajillion
and
times.
And this is a thing that my kids do, and I yelled at them about it, but they were deleting posts that weren't getting enough likes in a quick enough time, and I'm like. Just post. What do you want to post? Like,
right.
Who cares?
It's not supposed to be about the reaction.
You need affirmation, but that's what this has become. So now if you take it away, I think you're killing the platform because that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, who liked it? Who liked it? Well, you always check back on your crap. Everyone does. I don't care. Like, you know.
No, but even with Facebook's generic algorithm, like I'll see stuff that people posted 2, 3, 4, 5 days ago. And it'll be my first exposure to it.
Because someone liked it and bubbled it up.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Dumb. Not a fan.
Someone's gonna come out with a better mousetrap.
You know what I am a fan of, though?
What?
And I'm just going to put this out there generically. Bang Bros. I'm a huge fan of Bang Bros.
I didn't even realize they were still relevant.
Who knew?
Like that was like a thing, like in what, 2008
or the 2000 whatever,
five whatever.
But so apparently there was a website out there, Porn WikiLeaks, that maintained like it was basically doxing porn stars. And giving out like their real names, real addresses, real phone numbers, real all that stuff. So Bang Bros went and bought the site, bought like all.
Do they fake buy? Like we're like interested in your. And like we're gonna pay double. Like we're an interested party. I mean, they didn't come as we're Bang Bros.
Oh no, I'm sure it was like a third party thing.
Yeah.
But basically bought the. And when I say they bought the site, I mean like they bought where the site was actually hosted, because they got the hard drives and then torched them live in their first Safe for Work video that they've ever done, and that's amazing. Like that's a super cool thing.
See, here's what I don't get. There's a lot of things I like and don't like. For the most part, I'm a live and let live guy. Everybody knows that. If you don't like porn, like I don't want to be like, don't watch it, don't change the channel. But dude, you're gonna like put people's personal information online to tell people to do harm to them. Like, mm-hmm. There's a special place in hell for you. Like you know.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I've never I don't care what the circumstances are. That whole thing of of doxing somebody, and hey, here's their home address and here's their home phone number and here's. Dude, just there's never a good reason for that. Like, I don't care if it's a porn star, a white supremacist, I just know
what a pedophile rapist.
It doesn't matter.
Let the courts deal with it. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because I mean, especially, dude, we all know what people are like online, and that turns into a mob real quick, which turns into like you can like what if they put the wrong address in there for somebody, and then you wind up. You know, it's like swatting. You know, you wind up storming somebody's house that's not even affiliated with what you're – whatever. It's dumb.
Those stories are coming out once a week now, these swatting stories.
It's still a thing.
I guess apparently there was a forum that had 300,000 posts of it. Most of them that basically said, screw you. It's now gone.
Yeah.
So all that time you spent. But again, we'd like to find out who they are. Not necessarily docs. Just like if you ever come out with do anything else, just ban your shit.
Yeah.
Like, dead to me.
No, for sure.
People are stupid.
So I'm not going to lie. Like, this one, I kind of understand this because I'm in this boat. Like, so they're trying to figure out why.
When did you buy a boat?
Never. But smartphone payments, microtransactions are not catching on in the U.S. at all. And they can't figure out why. Because they said it's like 84% of, adults in America have a smartphone. But you look at the adoption rate, and China is at like 80%. Of adults with smartphones use hey, Samsung Pay, Apple Pay, whatever with their phone. In America, it's under 10.
Wow. I read this and I don't have an answer for it. I know I don't like it. I don't want to do it. I have no issue. Here's the thing. If you want to make my life easier, like I'm all in. It's not difficult to open up my wallet and to pull out a card.
Yep.
That never once I said, so difficult. Like, it doesn't save a step by tapping your phone. It really doesn't. And then I don't get to, put your PIN in. There's, like, that extra level security when you're putting your PIN in. 1653, is that okay? Like, I'm agreeing to it.
Yeah.
Like, they could put the thing in I remember once I did a square at the DCFC game. I bought a jersey or whatever, a scarf for my kid. And he didn't give me a receipt. And I go, dude, you could have charged me $1,000. Like, I know I'm getting the email right now. And I was sitting waiting until I get it.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're tapping your phone, like, you don't know what the transaction total. Uh-huh. You're just tapping your phone and you're walking. So I think a lot of people, A, is security-minded. B, doesn't make it that much easier. I don't,
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. That's why I haven't done it. Like, I get that it's, an additional – in theory, it is an additional layer of abstraction between the point of sale system and your cards. I get it.
If you want to change things, I'm going to bring it up one more time for the 8,000th time I brought it up on this show.
Yeah.
When I buy something, give me when you do 2FA on Microsoft and then you get
Dude, when I sign into Google, my Gmail account.
Yeah, and you get the pop up on your phone.
Pop on my phone inside of a second.
Yep, that says, is this you? Yes or no?
Yep.
Give me that and you will eliminate the whatever billion-dollar fraud market that exists today. and that person that spent $80 on gas at Kroger, who the hell buys $80 of the gas, couldn't have done it with my card. If you just do the a 2FA pop up, it says, "Is this you? Yes or no?" You go, do.
Nope, very true.
Doug Song, if you're listening to this from Duo Security, will you pitch the damn Visa banks to do that?
Or Cisco now.
Cisco, whatever.
They bought them.
I don't even want to dime a royalty for it. Whatever. Just go do. And this is what I love too. Just the fact of the title, it's so stupid that the CEO of Twitter is Twitter was hacked.
Which but not really.
Well, it kinda. Well, it's not Twitter's fault. It's the cell phone provider's
right.
fault.
So because Twitter enables the you can tweet via text. So you can you can send a text to a number, and so that what these guys did is they actually did, because we've talked about this attack vector on the show a couple of different times before, where they basically get a SIM card, they get a new SIM card, swap it, pop it into a phone, and then convince the phone company that you are whoever you're trying to gain access of their phone to.
Right.
So basically, like, to me, the more important part of that story is they convinced somebody that they were the CEO of Twitter and took over his phone.
Sure. I think it'd be very
Screw
easy.
Screw his Twitter account.
No, I think they'd be very easy to say this is his admin assistant, Jenny, or Billy, or whatever. I mean, that Jack Dorsey's not, you know what I mean?
I mean, he might be.
For crying out loud. I mean, dude, no.
Hello, I've got Mr. Dorsey's new phone. And
Right. I've ordered a new, and I need access to his,
What harm was had from the hacking? Like, was anything put
out? No, they started spewing, of course, like anyone anonymous, they spew racial slurs, anti-Semitic tweets, and offensive content before everything was removed.
Okay.
It's like, what's your first thought? Like, I'm Jack Dorsey. Like, what's your first thought? Oh, anti-Semitic and racist. Like, you don't just say, I just pooped my pants or something, funny. So,
did he take an Ambien? And
No, right.
Yeah, it's the Anthony Weiner defense. It wasn't me. I was drugged at the time. Yeah.
So Trump hacked his account?
Yes, every day. Every single day. But yeah, apparently I think the service providers need a good depantsing. So that's there's
like I said, to me that was the bigger part of that story that kind of got glossed over.
Right. Hey, so when are you going zipline shooting?
Dude, this story is so just Merca. So if you're bored with shooting static targets and you're bored with run and gun courses, there is a guy who has now built a shooting range where you get on a zip line, and as you zip down the line,
where?
You are shooting guns at targets.
Is this in Vegas, Lacey?
Yeah. What can possibly go wrong?
This is in Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at the YouTube video right now. MGM Iron Man.
Yeah. What can possibly go wrong?
Oh, and he's loading the thing too, and he's got a sight on it. Oh yeah, and he just targets. Oh my god, that looks so much fun.
I want to do it so bad. What can go wrong? Yeah,
you know what? This is Wild West. This is like shooting things on a horse.
On a horse,
that's all because you're going left and right, and I want to do it.
I want to do that on my horse on a zipline.
On a hoe. I'm trying to picture
How's that work now.
No,
that's a hell of a strong zipline. Yeah.
Speaking of being on a horse on a zipline, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Mike and Mandy talking about the Detroit Sheetown Festival. This is the IT in the D show.
Hey, we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. Segment 2, episode 313. This is the IT in the D.
Playing all of Bob's favorite hits this week.
I did not mean to rhyme that. We're hanging out here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy, Dave the geek, Randy, I do the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com. You want to know why? Because we are IT in the D.
You're still not. We still love you, but you're not.
Muy, muy. Hey, like we mentioned earlier, we got Mike and Mandy in the house. They are awesome. They're from the Detroit Sheetown Festival. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well. Really great.
Dude, I was just reading a little bit, and there's, people look at the word Detroit Sheetown Festival, and they don't know that there's actually a pretty historic backstory to that name. Let's start talking about, I guess, what's the backstory on the name?
Well, it kind of originated from the 20s and the 30s when male auto workers were kind of upset about women in the workforce taking over when, of course, the boys went to war. A lot of women came in, and when the boys came back home from war, they weren't exactly offered the same jobs back because women were making next to nothing for the same amount of work. And the term Sheentown, I'd really hoped by digging through everything that I could dig through to find maybe an organization of Sheentown people, women. It wasn't. It was just a term that a journalist coined that, you know, it kind of looks like Detroit's becoming the new Sheentown because these boys can't find work.
Yeesh.
So, yeah. And, you know, since the film industry, which, you know, that's kind of what there. Mike and I are part of, you know, we're seeing kind of a revolution and seeing more women in better positions and wanted to put more of a light on that. So that's what we decided to name the film festival was off of that.
Awesome. Like it. So this is going to run on September 12th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Detroit Shipping Company.
Well, that's the opening party.
That's the opening party,
correct. That's a filmmaker mixer, yeah.
Got it.
And that's open and it's free to attend.
And you, yep. So you were telling, so let's, I guess let's jump into it. You started listing off all these people that are going to be here. And the first thing I said to you is, I go, how in the blue hell did you get all these people to come to Detroit for a film festival?
Well,
or I guess unless you want to, you know, let's start with that. And then I'll jump back to the origins of how you guys even decided to do a film festival here.
A lot of people from outside of the state just really, they really want to come to Detroit. I mean, that's really, you know, the name Detroit in our festival has, you know, just excited people. They really, you know, they read a lot about it. They hear the good. They hear the bad. And they want to see the good.
You take them both and there you have.
Yeah.
The facts
right,
of life.
Right, right.
Thanks, Bobby.
Sorry. Yeah. And so they want to come here and they want to see it. And, you know, hopefully it provides a great networking opportunity for filmmakers here to get to meet people, you know, and filmmakers and those who they wouldn't just get a chance to meet otherwise.
Well, and I guess that's a question. So, I mean, like, one would assume the Detroit filmmaker community took a hit when all the incentives went away.
Right.
Like, I know that was like all the, you know, I mean, we dealt with it when we were down at the Russell, you know, I mean, Batman versus Superman filmed there, mm-hmm. Transformers, one of them filmed down there. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on. And
then it was gone.
And gone.
Gone. And, a lot
and it's still
of,
gone.
It's still gone.
Yeah.
And a lot of really quality filmmakers and people who are, you know, key crew went to the places where they could get work, you know, whether it was L.A. or it was Atlanta or New Orleans or, you know, kind of it left a void, definitely.
Yeah, and it's still a void.
It's still a void. And, but, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of filmmakers who hit it heavy. And I mean, I'm always of the opinion if you can make it in Detroit, you can make it anywhere. So I feel a lot of filmmakers have curated their art, partnered up. They've also, you know, worked in commercial and they've worked in corporate and, you know, honed their skills and also a ton of freelance, you know, and a lot of opportunities for that. And of course,
that's
when you're a
Detroit 101,
absolutely.
It's all about the side hustle.
Exactly. And in that, mm-hmm. you know, people get to know each other and they get to work with each other and we're all creative. So of course we have, you know, things in our minds that we want to see on the big screen. So, you know, these creative projects that come together, what greater place to show than here, and what greater place to bring everybody together that's interested in this and wants to collaborate? It was proof positive last year. I mean, definitely.
So, I was going to say, when did you have the big aha moment that we need to do this? Just curious.
Truthfully, I know for me, I've been a filmmaker for better part of a decade, and I've been to hundreds of film festivals, and there's always been, you know, it's a completely different experience when you go to, I would say, just a regular film festival versus something that's specific, that's a women's film festival. When you get a bunch of women in a room together, there's like a crazy sense of camaraderie, and it's just a different experience. And that's what I felt. I went to a film festival, a women's film festival in Toronto, and I just knew we had to do it here. And because it's just, you didn't see very many of, you see it in LA, you'll see it in New York, you'll see it in Toronto, you know, bigger cities like that. but it just hadn't been here. And
yeah, and we wanted to really bring films to audiences too, right? You know, it's a lot of short films from here in Michigan, from across the U.S., internationally, mm-hmm. you know, content that you just really wouldn't get a chance to see otherwise. And, you know, bringing that to audiences. And you know, we didn't want to create just another film festival, right? There's already a lot of those out there, right? We wanted to kind of, you know, bring those voices and bring that hopefully uniqueness to the project.
So that's what I was going to ask is like, so like when you guys announce something like this, like how many submissions do you get?
Well, this is our second year. So submissions went up by about 40% this year. Mm-hmm. The response has really been great. As I say, some other cities, you know, do something similar, Atlanta, Boston, things like that. This is the first here in Detroit that we knew of. And we hope it can only grow bigger as things go on. So
here's a guy on this side of the table that's never been to a film festival.
Okay.
I get it. I love movies. I just like anybody else. And I had this conversation with a buddy of mine in the car this weekend when he was, you know, telling me, you know, the Joker looks really good. And we're arguing. I go, I don't know. The last trailer looked good. And he goes, the last film festival it was at, it literally got a standing ovation. Mm-hmm. I go, it's because it was at a film festival. That's stupid. tell me why I'm dumb. Like that was my first inclination. Someone that what I'm trying to
you
do
think
now
it's
is
just a bunch of filmies that are
that love that, no, just like
is that your assumption?
No. I want you. I'm trying to get like to the people that are on the fence about going. I want to say like, okay, this is the reason why you need to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. Because I mean, the general perception, like when you hear film festival, you typically think
avant-garde,
serious, very dark, very noir, very, you know, it's for the people that like to, you know, sit around and, you know, smoke cigarettes in dark rooms and dissect.
Artsy. Yeah. I think we were pretty clever with the programming with this. There definitely are some subject matters that are quite hard-hitting. And they're all from a woman's perspective. So I feel like a lot of these are the subtle context of them, of the female eye on these films is phenomenal. Stuff you don't usually see, stuff you don't usually quite think about. I think that as far as the programming goes, though, I think we've mixed it up with some great programming with like animations and with some comedy and with some, you know, some documentaries that are
thrillers.
In here, some thrillers, some sci-fi, like there's genres all over the bar.
Yeah. So, and it's not, you know, a lot of people base maybe movies on like, I'm going to go to a movie because it's got Brad Pitt or something like
that.
Right.
It's not that.
You know, like, it's not a blockbuster thing. Right. But it's a lot of different voices, a lot of different content that, you know, and for now, all we're doing is we're programming short films. Right.
So that's what I was just going to ask. Yeah. So what is the definition of a short?
Well, to us, our parameters were anything from 2 minutes to 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we don't program features just because we just haven't decided to yet, I guess. We're both, you know, short filmmakers and we love that medium.
And you can fit a lot.
You can fit a lot of programming in a 2-hour block, like what you would see a feature for,
right.
You know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, you get to see 8 to 10 movies. Like, it's completely different, and it's kind of a neat little experience.
And certain features are harder to program, you know, you're trying to get that audience, and that's what we're really trying to get.
And I see that a lot at film festivals where they'll have, like, a short block program, and they'll have, like, a couple of features. And I always feel like the short film filmmakers kind of get the raw end of the deal because a lot of the promotion goes into the features.
Right.
So this is, you know, again, not only a festival for you know, women filmmakers, but also for short filmmakers.
So, well, I guess what makes the cut? Because if I look at movies, I think everyone's such a wide variety of likes and tastes in movies. Mm-hmm. Everything from like a John Wick to the trauma, you know, Toxic Avenger to like Ben-Hur, Dr. Zhivago. I mean,
right.
We all love movies.
Right.
So I guess what makes the cut and what doesn't make the cut?
Good movies.
Yeah, we have a
good content.
But you follow what I'm saying? Like that's
totally
like.
If you watch it and it rocks you to your core,
right,
or if it makes you laugh, or it teaches you something, or
we have a selection panel, right? And it's who spent weekends upon weekends upon weekends going over these movies, going back over these movies. A lot of times you'll say like you want to see something that grabs you, something you haven't seen before. I didn't want to say like. You saw a movie like, oh, that's exactly like The Matrix meets Die Hard 3.
Isn't that all the movies today?
Yeah, right. Okay. But that's what we don't want to see, right? We want to see those unique and additional voices.
But it's that.
Right.
Yeah. And hopefully we achieved that.
Oh, I definitely think we did. Mm-hmm.
It's Ghostbusters, but now it's with women, so it's being a women's film. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
I mean, if I could get Ghostbusters, I'd be super thrilled.
Yeah, I would be too.
No. Yeah, so I mean, I'm just taking a quick cruise through the site, and I did, because I was kind of curious. So your criteria was had to have at least one of the following: it had to have a female lead actress role, a female centric story or a documentary issue, female director or cinematographer, female screenwriter or editor, female producer or co-producer.
Correct. So there, this isn't, you know.
You'd think that would be an exhaustive list, yet it's not.
I was like, how?
No, it's like, not.
Was that just one of?
Yeah, like yeah, you're asking honestly. For just one, not.
And
all
I would
five.
Think, is that every movie?
No,
it's yeah. not.
You'd
no.
be surprised. No.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I would.
I'm but everybody who submits follows those criteria.
Right, but I'm shocked but that that's not every movie.
No.
Wow.
No.
No.
This is why. Still, this is
no, that's fair. No. No, that's fair because, again, you're bringing things into light to people that don't see the light. Because, again, I would have thought if you would have read that off corner, I would go, that's absolutely every single movie that's ever been.
Can you explain the Bechdel test?
Wow.
Can you explain it?
Can I spell okay,
the Bechdel test? No.
If I had it in front of me, I could. Okay. Yeah.
There's a certain like criteria, yeah. And you would think that would meet, you know, a lot of movies would meet that. And
they don't.
They don't.
They don't. And,
no, I appreciate that.
I mean, Catherine Bigelow is the last female to win Best Director, and there hasn't been anyone since, right? So for the Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you start thinking of those high-level positions.
And this is kind of the purpose of the festival, too, and the networking. You know, unless you start seeing, as a woman filmmaker, you start seeing people do the things that you want to do, and you have some idols, you know, some people to look up to and go, oh my gosh, they can do this, then I can do this. You know, unless you have that, you're not going to feel like you can.
Well, that's got to be a problem when guys like me just assume that it's there and it's totally not. And I just gloss it over because I don't think it. Yeah. You know what I mean? No, I dig that you're bringing this out. No, because.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, think about all the conversations we've had, you know, about women in tech, you know, over the years.
It's the same as STEM. Yeah. It's very much the similar thing. And it's. I'm glad to see where it's going now, and I'm glad to see that there's attention being brought to it, and I'm glad to see that there's programs in place to make sure that, you know, women can actually have some mentors and have a voice.
People to look up to,
all
right.
of these industries, because it's so important.
Well, that was like kind of like when Black Panther came out, and like, you know, the African-American kid, like I have someone now I can look up to. And we again, like Dave and I growing up, we didn't think anything of it.
You wouldn't have believed my reaction to Wonder Woman.
Right.
You would not have believed. I didn't even believe my reaction to Wonder Woman.
But see, we grew up with Wonder Woman in the 70s.
But it
didn't exist for 40 years then. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But to see it on the big screen and a woman embodying it in live.
And the movie was glorious, too.
Glorious. And I mean, literally, wept. Like, couldn't try to control myself. Wept.
Right.
Couldn't help it.
But like, we always dressed up as Superman, Batman, but we didn't think like, what's the little African American boy? What's he dressed like? He's not dressing up as Superman, you know. And now Black Panther comes out and like, now he's got someone like, God, it just, again, you don't think of it unless you're staring at it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And it's, you know, like I said, I'm glad that this is the way it's going because the way it's always been is not the way it always should be.
Sure.
And
So the people that make the short films, I'm just curious, like where do they typically get distribution, or where would they typically get eyeballs outside of these festivals? Like, are they distributed? Mm-hmm. Like, are they saying, "Hey, watch my movie on YouTube"? Like, where would you be able to see some of these short films? Because again, this is another thing that I'm kind of not privy to.
Angela, if you're gonna talk about her.
Well, one of our filmmakers from last year, she won best in the festival. She had a great film called Lady Hunters. She got distributed through Amazon Prime, and it was part of like an anthology of similar genre short films. Kind of like, have you ever seen Black Mirror?
Yeah, of course.
So it's sort of like that, but through Amazon Prime now. Cool. So she's part of this kind of cool.
Amazon Prime's on fire right now.
I know.
They're putting out some awesome stuff.
Well, and that's kind of the great thing about getting into short. I get that question a lot. Why do you do this? Do you make any money? And you know, there's a lot of different reasons why people make shorts, you know. I mean, calling their craft, call it a demo reel, if you will. You know, I do this so I can prove that I can do a TV series or what have you. But if there's distribution going on,
sure.
which clearly there is, I want to see more of that.
Now, what are some of the more famous ones? Because when I think of short film, the only thing that comes to my mind is when I was a kid, Bambi Meets Godzilla. Right, that was like the famous like.
See, I was the film festival I went to every year when I lived in DC was Spike and Mike.
Mm. Spike and Mike's amazing.
If anything, you know, the ability to have well, not just cameras on your smartphone, but the ability to have cameras and equipment at a decreased pricing mm-hmm. level has really leveled the playing field in mm-hmm. terms of the content that's out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Sundance Film Festival is the biggest film festival in existence. Every year now, they get over, I mean, the mind boggles. They get over 9,000 short films, of which they take about 70. So that odd.
Yeah,
yeah,
think about that.
So, I mean, just so the playing field has really been leveled a lot, right? You used to have to buy these expensive cameras and these tape decks and
sure.
gear and all these
oh, yeah,
things.
Yeah, for tens of thousands yeah. of dollars. Yeah. Opposed, yeah. yeah.
You know, editing so, software is free.
Yeah.
And, you
so
know,
maybe,
or
not
can
that it's,
be.
Maybe not that it's as popular, maybe perhaps, but that it's, you know, democratized, I'd say.
Well, and I think yeah. that's the flip side of it, too, like you were just touching on, is it's not just the leveling the playing field on production, it's mm-hmm. the playing field's gotten a lot wider when yes. it comes to distribution.
Yep.
You know, you're not dealing with, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS. You're
right.
not just dealing with,
right.
you know, Paramount, Universal. You know, you've got, mm-hmm. hey, Netflix, you're greenlit.
Yep.
You know,
you've got,
right. yeah. right. Mm-hmm. Well, yep. and it's been, and it's an evolving thing, too. You know, I mean, there's just so much content out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different ways to view it. So, you know, it's trying to figure out mm-hmm. what route you should go is an experiment in it itself. You know?
So I guess going back to one of my first questions I asked you when we were sitting in the waiting room mm-hmm. was the list of people that you got. And I'm like, how – like you answered it very funny and I kind of laughed. I go, save it for the show. I'm like, how in the hell did you get this many people to come to Detroit for this thing?
Word of mouth, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that's impressive as all hell. That's what I'm getting at.
Crazy.
Yeah, we'll have about between 40 to 50 filmmakers coming from Michigan and from the U.S. and then internationally.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So
there's filmmakers coming over from Australia. There's filmmakers coming from L.A., New York, all around the United States, mm-hmm. from Canada, physically coming here.
Yeah,
and
well, I mean, just one little quick neat story was three filmmakers from L.A. who met here in Detroit, who all lived in L.A. but never met here, and now they're working on a new short film project together because they met here. But they were doing it out.
How cool is that?
Right. Yeah, right. And they never would have met out there, and then they all lived there.
Well, and Mike, and you were I think you were looking up IMDb or something,
yeah.
and you were commenting on how you were completely fanboying out. Who,
yes.
who were some of the who are some of the quote unquote people you're fanning out for that we should hire security to keep you away from? I'm just kidding. come on.
Well, maybe we should talk real quick about just like our breakdown of like what's playing what night.
Right? Yeah,
just,
perfect.
Or just
well,
like,
yeah, because you've got stuff yeah. going. So so Thursday night, not this Thursday, but next Thursday,
next
the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the kickoff event over at Detroit Shipping Company, which great. We've got we've got our studio there. Probably going to try to get us maybe another show or two there to
Love
like interview
idea.
Folks, that kind of stuff.
Fantastic.
But then starting Friday, you've got panels and showings and events and all that kind of, including after parties at Old Miami.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. There's a great, the Taste of She-Town is always our kickoff every Friday. It's a multi-genre block. A lot of the filmmakers who have films in that are coming. There's also a panel, a director's panel that's preceding that. I should have led with that. The thrillers, Friday the 13th. Why would you not have a thriller?
Indeed.
Block?
Indeed.
So there's some great films in that, including there's a local one called Knock Knock that's been killing it in the Michigan mm-hmm. circuit, by the way. Desert Prayer is an amazing one. That's
yes.
the one you were kind of fangirling over.
Yes, Amelia Rose over. Blair, who was in Detroit Becoming Human. The PS4
very cool.
video
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
Yep, her and her husband are both going to be there Friday night. So, and they have a very large Detroit fan base that they're going to hopefully get a chance to meet with.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and one of the things that's going on during the Taste of She-Town Friday night, Girls Rock Detroit. I mean, like, I knew that name because they've mm-hmm. done fundraisers and that kind of stuff at Smalls and Hamtramck and some other things I've gone to.
Yes.
Very cool organization. And so it's a film all about them.
Yeah, it's just a quick 7-minute short documentary about everything that they do within the city of Detroit, and it highlights, their mission.
Cool.
Along with a lot of other really great films that are mm-hmm. in that block. You know, it's one of those multi-genre blocks, which majority of these are. You know, you'll get some comedies, you'll get some mm-hmm. docs, you'll get some animations, you'll get some great dramas.
Yeah. We got films that a couple films that have premiered this year at Sundance, at South by Southwest, and at Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
So
and Palm Springs.
So is there anything that's like totally out of like I'm trying to think the taste level or like just saying, oh my God, this is the worst, the grossest thing. Cause I mean, again, to some people that might be, I'm just wondering, where's the line? Is there a line or is this, or is
you know,
this pretty
I notice,
open?
I notice women filmmakers when they do horror. Yeah. You talk about like thrillers.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's never overly gross, mm-hmm. you know? And
when I think indie films, I always think Trauma. Like well, I grew no, up on Toxic
so
Avenger.
So it's more no. Alien versus Aliens. That's or, that's the line I always drew.
That's a bad one. Yeah, it's. Yeah. I just feel like you know, it's more psychological horror.
So Alien was more in your brain messing with you.
Yeah,
Aliens was.
There's some pretty cool special effects. We have some zombie films. We mm-hmm. have some like, I mean, the special effects that these women are putting together, pretty freaking impressive. Yeah. And all high end.
All the programming blocks are unrated. So
oh yeah, we have to I say would, that.
Oh, yeah. So bring your kids if you want to.
If you dare.
If you dare. Yeah. Yes.
But they are unrated, as most film festivals are.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
But there's a great documentary block mm-hmm. on Saturday.
Which has seen a real resurgence. Yeah.
Like, real.
Now, documentaries are huge. I mean, like every time I turn around, there's another one that either Netflix or Hulu or Prime is like, hey, have you seen this one yet?
Yeah.
No, but.
But I want to
play.
Learn, but I'm about to learn.
Yeah,
yeah, you're going to learn some things.
Now, where are the films being shown?
They're being shown at Cinema Detroit in Midtown.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's a great little venue.
Sure.
And I don't know. I just I dig it. The filmmakers dig it. It's,
weren't
it's
they one of the Hatch contestants we had in?
Mm-mm. Nope, I would remember that vividly. No.
I don't even know what that means.
I think they might have been one of the Hatch Detroit Final Four
Mm-mm.
one year.
Nope.
Okay.
Hatch Detroit's a contest that it's sponsored by Comerica Bank. They give like money and legal support and accounting support and to try to launch small
business
in the city.
Well, if they're not, then they should be because they're doing an incredible job of bringing independent film. They're the only independent film art house.
They're
in
the only.
See, I see it. I swear.
You swear a lot.
I do.
They're the only theater Detroit,
yes.
besides the Senate, I guess.
I thought, Magic Johnson was supposed to open up a Cineplex, and I guess
that there's been rumors of that. Yeah.
For like 15 years, I think, yeah.
I mean, there was the GM Rensen 4.
There was. Oh, my God. There was movies in the Rensen.
And that all closed.
That was pre-GM, though, wasn't it? Or?
It was out for in the 2000s.
Was it really?
You know, I saw. I may have snuck off and watched a movie or two there.
Yeah, I think I did too.
No, we used to hang out there when we were before we go to the bar. There, we'd like let's go to the Renaissance Center and walk around.
Yep. So the last film, basically, like programming venue standing. So
right.
Now what's the cost?
$10 for a program.
Mm-hmm. The Thursday night networking party is filmmaker networking party is free.
That's free.
Okay.
That we have. Oh, do you want to talk about the director's panel on Friday night?
Director's panel is free also. That's going to be moderated by one of our alums from last year. I don't have who's going to be on the panel yet. I'm waiting on confirmation from one more before we release that. But that will be on the website. But just a great discussion with, you know, some of the directors who have films in the film festival mm-hmm. who are moving and shaking in the industry. And I think we'll have some great conversations with whoever comes to.
So like $10 and you can sit there like all evening.
$10 is for each of the programs. So each of the programs are like 2 hours long.
Okay. Got
episode 55. Yeah. I will direct you towards that. That's when they were on the show.
I was not there.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
So they were on Hatch. Okay.
We'll go ask him.
No. I love how when he's proven wrong or something, he'll go away for like 20 minutes Googling and he'll like completely ignore the show and then back with this answer of glorification. Yeah. I did it. Look at me.
Have you not met me?
Yeah.
I win.
Fake news.
I win.
Fake.
All the programs are $10. There's four programs that are genre specific. So that would be the thrillers, the documentaries, the comedies, and there's an LGBTQ block also. But there's 12 programs in total, 24 hours of programming that we're actually putting out.
So about 130 some films.
Yes, and those are all mixed genres. So It's every program is a cool experience.
Well, and your website's got a ton of content, because that's the other thing I was clicking around on. Your website's got it, like going through your site, DetroitSheTownFilmFestival.com, like you've got links and trailers and bios.
You can see everybody, every director who provided a headshot has debuted on there, the bio for them, the description of their film, what kind of, you know. When it shows. So yeah, if you're curious and you want to poke through, DetroitSheTownFilmFestival.com will give you. Just go to the schedule.
That's what I'm going through. Yeah.
Yeah. And also on their debut, it also shows all the premieres. We have 6 world premieres this year, 6 U.S. premieres, and 33 Michigan premieres. So lots of films that people have not seen here.
So I mean, it's obviously this is a press like. Covering this thing, like I guess how many from what different genres, like magazines and press and news and websites, is there?
We're looking for them.
Okay. All right. No, just curious, just asking.
We're
looking.
We're looking.
Fair.
If anybody wants to reach out and talk about us,
other than being
super,
on the
happy.
You know, the podcast with 4 listeners, you got that here, but you know,
right.
I'm kidding. But hey, if you want to know more, DetroitSheTownFilmFestival.com, September 12th through the 14th.
15th. Yes.
See, I'm a day off.
That's okay.
You know,
it's because like, we got it on Sunday.
I'm on my Chick-fil-A schedule. I don't worry. I don't go see. I don't work on Sundays.
We work on Sunday.
I work every day. But yeah, Mike, Mandy, look forward to. This sounds awesome. I love the mission. I love the mission. I love everything you guys said. Like seriously, this is very cool stuff. I'm going to enlighten myself. I'm going to hang out.
You should totally come.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, I'm in. But yeah, the Detroit Sheets on FilmFestival.com. Mike, Mandy, appreciate the time spent. And
Thank you.
Going to wrap things up for episode 313, the Detroit episode of the IT and the D Show. We'd like to thank PlanetM.com and also like to thank Monday.com. Thank you for keeping the lights on behalf of Bob and Dave and the ghost of Randy. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. He was never in the studio. I don't know what the hell he was tweeting from. I was getting notifications. He was tweeting. I'm like, where the hell is he? Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. Drive careful. Beat it.
See you guys.
I forgot. Be safe.
Be safe.
You've never said be safe.
I didn't.
No. You always just say drive careful. Get the hell out of here.
Beat it. Yeah. Oh, fine. Whatever.
Bye.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Bonan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, warn the truth.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right. Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
Yeah, so now I'm just like doing like stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.